It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the California legislative session is well underway, and today we're going to get caught up with the District 8 Republican senator who represents the region, Andreas Borges. Senator Borges, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
BJ, it's great to be back on the show.
So how is everything going these days at the state capitol?
Well, we're off to a pretty aggressive start. I know that there's been a lot of pent-up legislation and a lot of expectations because of the last two legislative cycles that have been dampened by COVID. So there's certainly a lot of excitement and a lot of bills getting ushered in. You'll notice that California is running a surplus yet again, kind of defying the traditional trajectory of most economies during the COVID process. California is anticipated to have somewhere between a $30 and $45 billion surplus. And I use that word surplus loosely because it's the difference between expected and accounted for revenue.
So with that extra revenue, how would you like to see that money spent?
Well, I think if we're smart, and California hasn't necessarily shown that it wants to invest in tomorrow's economy today, we would be investing in infrastructure, whether it be bridges, whether it be streets, whether it be water infrastructure. That, I think, needs to be a massive priority because there have been so many studies across America that shows our infrastructure is so decrepit and deferred in its maintenance that if we were to account for it all at once, it would probably bankrupt most countries. So it would behoove us to make the investments in infrastructure to enhance our prospects tomorrow.
So infrastructure, would you say that's your top priority this session, or are there other things as well?
Oh, we have a lot on our plate right now. Obviously, we are working on wildfire-related issues. We are working on COVID recovery policies, but water infrastructure. I have joined up with another senator in calling for $3 billion to be put into water infrastructure for, frankly, projects that were approved by the voters years ago. So we're not asking for a brand new analysis on a prospective project. We're just asking to implement what the voters already approved many years ago, but we still have not even begun the process.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that, on being approved
sites,
by the voters?
Sites, reservoir, and other infrastructure-related projects. We believe that it is essential that if we are going to learn the lessons of COVID, and when I say that, I'm talking about exposed vulnerabilities in our economy and our infrastructure. And we have seen through supply chain vulnerabilities that food security and water availability are national security matters. Now, as chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, you know, I have done my absolute best to highlight the nexus between those weaknesses and our national security vulnerabilities. And this is a step in the right direction, making certain that we invest in our canal and deliverance system for water deliveries. We invest in water storage so that when it does rain, as we have experienced to some degree, that we're able to capture and not rely completely on the runoff. So these are things that people have talked about for years, but it requires political will to bring the powers that be to the table and affect the will of the voters, which occurred, I think, back in 2014 was the last bond measure approved by the voters.
So you mentioned yourself as pushing for water matters. I know other Republicans have been as well. What are you hearing from the other side of the aisle with the Democrats? Is it on their radar at this point?
It is. And I think there are a couple of things that have occurred in the last couple of years that have been changing the dynamics a bit. One is that our problems are not localized, meaning that it's not just the Central Valley, Foothill, and Mountain communities that have experienced wildfires. they've experienced them in other areas, especially coastal areas as well. So when you have that shared tragedy, it now delocalizes it from our neck of the woods into a full California problem. So that, I think, has been something that has allowed for more political traction. The second is our drought. And there's been some material put out in the public domain that we've had. This is going to be one of the worst drought periods in American history for centuries and centuries. So when you start looking at this, is not just something that is occurring in the Central Valley or in the foothill mountain areas. It's happening everywhere. And so when you have that shared problem, that is how you're able to attract Democrats bring them to the table as well, because they have a stakeholding interest along with us.
How about just the issue of above ground water storage as the single issue? Do you think that's something that you can find bipartisan support on?
I'm probably more predictive that conveyance is going to be more realistic. So I think ponding and below ground storage, I think, is very possible. Conveyance probably has the highest rate of success. Now, environmentalists and a lot of other groups that have opposed the dam systems, they are as powerful as ever. So they're not going to go down without a fight. So that would be the order I would predict would allow for most political traction.
I remember talking to you about a year ago. It was significant that you were a Republican who was appointed to the Agricultural Committee in a Democratic leading state. I'm curious, are there other issues besides water that you're keeping a close eye on this session in that area?
Well, you're right. Yes, I'm still the only Republican in the entire state legislature to chair a committee. One, I think, very interesting issue that has a lot of bearing on the Central Valley, at least, is we worked on olive oil. Now, obviously, California has shown itself to be a powerful global player in the olive oil world. And trying to figure out ways that we can protect the branding of California. And if you look back at how the wine industry did it decades ago, that would allow for the regionalization and the naming and the branding that goes along with that. These are things that are very helpful because California sells globally. When a consumer in another part of the world finds out those are California almonds or those are California pieces of produce, that's a premium. That is a branding issue. It helps all of us. It helps our economy. It also helps our exports, so on and so forth. So I think these are some of the things that we've been working on on the ag side of the committee, and I think we're going to continue in that space as well.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Senator Andreas Borges on this weekend's Motherlode Views. He represents Senate District 8, which includes the Motherlode region. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.